Now let's talk about federal land. The federal government owns a great deal of land in the West, and there's constant bristling over how far away managers respond to the needs of local communities on the use of federal lands. The Bureau of Land Management, which supervises 15 million acres of land in Oregon, has for years taken input from RACs, regional advisory councils or committees. But our colleague at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Jess Burns, recently reported on changes that have rendered some of those advisory councils inert for extended periods of time. Jess is here in the studio now for a debrief. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
So what is the usual role of these regional advisory councils?
They kind of range, but in Oregon, out west, they are advising on specific land use issues. Out in the eastern part of the state. It's early. In the eastern part of the state, so land use issues around the Steens, around the John Day area, around southwest Oregon, kind of what's going on there. On the west side of Oregon, it's more about dispersing money for secure rural schools. So this is the money that the federal government gave in place of declining timber revenues.
The old
on
OMC
federal
timber revenues.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so... So there's a specific pot of money within this that the RACs are charged with making recommendations with how to disperse. So that is money from the federal government that comes and lands in local communities.
All right, allocated by Congress, but it's up to the advisory councils to assist the BLM in deciding where that money gets sent?
Yeah, they make recommendations. They send them up to the BLM leadership, local BLM leadership, who make the final stamp of approval. But from what my understanding is, basically what the RACs say usually goes.
Now, the RACs have existed since the beginning of their Secure Rural Schools funding, so it's been about, 20 years plus?
Yeah, on the west side, I'd say a little bit less than that. You know, they were all created at different times, depending on what was happening on the ground. The ones in western Oregon, I think in the early 2010s, kind of came into being, and they've been operating since.
So how did the approach to the regional advisory councils change under the Trump administration?
Well, first off, they suspended them all. In May 2017, Zinke came in. He was the Interior Secretary, and he said, "We're going to stop all of y'all meeting, and we're going to take a look at the charge and charter of each of these groups, and we're going to see if, you know, we think you should keep going." Since then, the RACs on the east side have been reinstated. Well, they've all technically been reinstated, but the ones on the east side have been meeting. On the west side, though, they don't have enough members to meet because the Interior Department has not approved enough membership for those to meet their minimums to actually meet and make decisions.
So there's no quorum, essentially.
There's no quorum, exactly.
So who gets onto the councils, and what kind of clearance or confirmation process? And then were people removed through the charter and charge process?
You know, to address the removal, I wouldn't say people were removed, but during that 2-year hiatus in meeting, basically everyone's term expired because everybody's on for a 3-year term. So, you know, the Trump administration then started with kind of a blank slate. The people apply, say that they're interested in being on this. The BLM vets them, and then they send them up the ladder to Interior Department for approval. How those are approved in the Interior Department is not exactly clear. We've heard some frustration from the head of the Interior Department himself, the acting head, of the BLM, saying that they're really he's a little bit frustrated with how slow things are going. So there is, you know, frustration within the administration itself.
BLM is in the process of moving its headquarters from Washington to Grand Junction, Colorado?
Yeah.
So does that figure at all in this process from what you could determine?
I don't think so. I mean, what I've hearing about that process is that it's kind of this idea that the public lands agencies are losing transparency. And in a bizarre way, this move from D.C. to Colorado is about kind of wresting power away from federal lawmakers, but also from lawmakers at the state level, or not lawmakers, excuse me, policymakers at the state level. Like the BLM heads used to have in the state had the power to make these decisions, but now those decisions have moved up the ladder, and they're going to move those people that are now making the decisions out west to be closer to where the decisions are, where at the very beginning the decisions were made in the states anyway. So the decision makers were on the ground.
So the distribution may be leaving the states and moving upstream to the national headquarters,
headquarters is moving back to the West. So it's just big. I mean, the criticism here is all about kind of a loss of transparency that's happening.
All right. So again, back to the resource advisory councils. You say the three in Eastern Oregon are functioning again. They have full membership, all that stuff?
Yep. They don't have full membership, but they have enough members to be meeting.
Okay. And in Western Oregon, without them meeting, so this primary work of the councils to help distribute the rural schools money, secure rural schools money, isn't going on?
It isn't. There are BLM staff tells me there is $4.2 million basically sitting in the bank waiting to be distributed. And under the newest Secure Rural Schools authorization by Congress, that money has to be it has to be used by September 2020. Now, that's a long way off. Like, that's almost a year away. But considering that only one of the Western Oregon groups has enough members to actually meet, the other two don't even have enough members to meet. And also, there has to be basically calls to community groups to submit proposals for funding. And that's a lot to get done. I mean, this is
especially
not a fast
process.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is a slow process. And so that's a lot to get done by that time. So there is concern.
Well, and Secure Rural Schools money has generally gone to schools. I mean, hence the name for the pot of money that this comes from. So we're talking about schools potentially getting a little bump and not getting it because this money is not potentially going to get allocated.
Well, this particular pot of money, it's called Title II funds, and it is for actually conservation projects. They use it for conservation, recreation, and educational projects as they deal with conservation. So think about, like, these are watershed projects. Improving fish passage, some trail stuff, anything that it's basically they're letting local community members decide how the money is spent on their public lands. And that's this particular pot of funds.
Okay, which is, again, what the regional advisory councils were about in the first place. It's like, help the BLM decide how to spend money that affects these communities around them.
Exactly.
So we talked about the deadline being next September, but, you know, federal processes being what they are, that's not necessarily that far away. Is there any indication that the as yet unfilled RACs, resource advisory councils, will be filled in time?
Not directly. So the Northwest Oregon RAC has enough members, just barely enough members to meet. So they could. The BLM staff is working to schedule a meeting for them. The Southwest Oregon RAC and the Coastal Oregon RAC do not have enough members. The Coastal Oregon only has three appointed members right now, but both of those are waiting to hear back from the Interior Department about getting approval for new members that would potentially bring them up over that minimum number of
what
nine.
Is the minimum? Nine?
Nine.
Okay,
nine.
So they got three. They need six, twice as many.
Yeah.
Any pressure, Jess, from Congress being applied here to try to get things goosed up into speed again?
You know, Oregon Senators Wyden and Merkley have voiced concern about this, but in the particular focus of them right now is on an executive order by the Trump administration that is mandating getting rid of one-third of all of these advisory committees. And it's not just RACs, it's a big, broad section of them. And so Merkley and Wyden are pushing that the RACs aren't included in that because they view them as so valuable for local communities.
Okay, interesting stuff with resource advisory councils and committees. And Jess Burns, thanks for reporting on that.
Thank you.
Jess Burns works for OPB in our newsroom at JPR.